the Stepney Baptist Church podcast. For more information about the church, go to www.stepneybaptist.com. We thank you for listening and hope you have a blessed day.
Yeah, what a treat, kids. What a treat. It's what I tell my kids all the time. Good morning. Yeah, as Rob said, the story is we had an opportunity that was just too good to stay with our beautiful, wonderful family. And we love you guys. We really appreciate you. And it's been great here. And we're probably in about, 4 or 5 months heading to Grand Rapids with the whole family. But I start tomorrow. Well, Tuesday, technically, but I'm driving tomorrow, early in the morning. So, this is the last time I will get to talk with you guys. And so, what do you do with the last few minutes with your beloved family? So, what I decided this morning was, rather than some of the things that Kevin had talked, I mean, he had a whole list last week of the wigging and the sermons, and this is not going to be a talking down, it's just going to be a thank you. We have really appreciated you guys. I also need to figure out some sort of a signaling method for the slide folks. I don't know how that works. Hey, there you go. That'll work. But I'm going to continue with Kevin's series. So we're going to keep going through Luke because I believe Tim next week is going to pick right back up. So I don't want to leave. But God worked it out so that even though we decided to do this basically a week and a half ago when I spoke with Kevin and said, by the way, it's the tragedy is we have to leave. Hey, why don't you speak? And it just so happens that this piece of the word hits exactly in the center of my heart. It's exactly where I couldn't have chosen a piece in the entire Bible that would be more appropriate for how I feel. One, you've loved us, and two, I feel it's important for you to keep loving. So it's right along with the Sermon on the Plain. I think one of the things that as we came, we understood that your motto, mission statement, vision statement is passion for God and compassion for people. But you don't always, you can say that. You go to a church and they'll say that. Everyone will say, we love God and we love people. But how you live that out is not always obvious. It's not always something that just pops right out. How you choose to love people is as important as the fact that you love them. You can say, I love you, and do something that is not particularly loving. How many of you ladies have ever gotten a gift that your husband got for you, probably because he knew you didn't really want it, and he wouldn't mind it himself? Anybody ever got hockey tickets? No? No? Anybody ever get something for their car that you're like, you know what, that's probably yours, not mine? The loving that Jesus describes is an other-focused loving. And I think what we found here at Stepney has been an other-focused loving. You've been welcoming, you've been encouraging, you've been challenging, you've been supportive. It's just been beautiful. And you've embodied what Jesus talks about in this passage and what I want to talk about this morning. So it's not a sermon. It's a cheer. Yeah. Good job, and keep it up. Please keep it up. I think, is it Julie who's doing our scripture this morning? Yeah, if you could open up to page, I think it's 862. It's Luke 6, and we're going to be reading verses 37 through 49, I believe.
Mm-hmm. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Thank you, Julie. In the whole scope of this Sermon on the Plain, this last piece is the future-looking portion of it. You'll remember at the beginning, there was the blessings and the woes. And it's a very structured sermon. This is not a YouTube of Jesus. This is not just somebody writing furiously to get the exact words, because can you imagine gathering all those people and then giving them, 3 minutes of content? So I imagine that this is something that Luke put together because every single piece is important. It's very important to look first at your mindset, because we as people are not naturally inclined to do these things. You who are poor, yay! You who are, who laugh, boo. That's not something that we do very well. Well, it's just not common. So it's important early on for Jesus to say, listen, you're going to have to think differently about this. What God values, God's going to produce. And the things that God produces are going to produce things that God values. And the plain truth is, that was a bad pun, sorry. I'll try to do better. I'll work harder next time. That happiness actually does not spring from pursuing your own passions. That's what you're led to believe. Follow your dreams, kids, follow your dreams. That's not where happiness comes from. Caring for others without worrying about your benefit, that's where happiness comes from. And that's what we call compassion. That's what's so wonderful about Stepney, is the compassion. Let's not focus on all the other things that are not so important. Let's focus on the things that are important, which is other people's good. And I love that searching for other people's good is going to produce good. It's a very common creation principle. It's the rule of trees. You have apples, you plant the apples, you feed the apples, and you water the apples, and what are you going to grow? Apples, that's right. I'm glad you guys are listening close. Are you guys gardeners by any chance? And some of the corollaries to that are, number one, if you don't do these things, so if you don't plant apples, if you don't water the apples, if you don't feed the apples, you ain't going to grow no apples. And also, if you plant, feed, and water currants, you're going to grow currants. And currants are nasty. We all know that. My grandmother had a currant bush. It was disgusting. But some people like them, so I guess if that's what you're looking for, go for it. Jesus is going to produce good fruit in his disciples. He sticks with them so that he can produce good fruit. And good fruit is going to bear and produce the thing that God values, because God is good. He wants good things. Trees aren't just for you to walk up and have a great time, right? This is not some Hershey Kiss-bearing tree where once you pull it off and eat it, oh, that was good. If you plant a Hershey Kiss, you're going to get mud. Delicious mud, but you're still going to get mud. The apples are for producing. Fruit bears, it produces. Check out verses 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. We should know that. Each tree is known by its own fruit. That's important. The good person out of the good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. So we are producers. We're not just here as consumers. We're here as producers. We make things. And you know what? If you make bad things are going to spring up around you. If that's where you invest your life and your time and your energy in, guess what's going to happen all around you? Bad stuff. And Jesus makes it really, really, really simple. If you bear and produce the good fruit that he values, you are going to see good fruit around you. And it's not magic. It's not rocket science, but it's not something that if you look and you see good fruit popping up, you shouldn't be all that surprised. If you see a maple tree pop up in your lawn, you just look around for where's the maple tree, right? None of us are going to see a palm tree come up in our garden overnight. We shouldn't, all right? Or else you got some very mischievous neighbors. Kids, in the morning, my kids are convinced, I think, that there is a magic process that happens whereby they come home from school, open their backpack, and they put an empty lunch pail on the counter, right? And then by some mysterious process that only God knows, somehow that gets into their backpack the next morning, right? It's just magic. It's wonderful. Guys, how many of you have a magic laundry corner? It's wonderful how that works. But we all know that the truth is it's not magic. This is just how things happen. Fruit, the fruit that we sometimes talk about, and you can go a lot of places in the Bible to look at fruit, but you just have to stay here to see what he's talking about. Because in this passage, fruit is not about you feeling good. Fruit is not about your comfort. Look at the beginning with the woes. If he was talking about fruit that's just you feeling super good, well, all those woes in the beginning don't make any sense. Fruit is all about the others. And now watch this process. He tells them this. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Won't they both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So this is this principle of if you train something, that's what you're going to get. So one corollary is that following, seeking out those good trees, is every bit as important as producing. If you want to produce good fruit, find the people around you who are producing good fruit. Invest in them, love them, be around them, nourish them, and then you are going to, by process of collaboration, start to see good fruit in your life. That's exactly what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus, can you imagine if you had the power to feed thousands of people, heal thousands of people, you'd be running for Sadducee, right? We wouldn't be this no-name person wandering through the plain telling people how to live. If we had that power and we weren't God, you probably use it to be king. What a military leader you could be if you could just be like, p-doo, 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 p-doo. You're healed. Go get them, boys. This is not Jesus' approach. He uses it for others. And then he takes these 12 dudes and he sticks with 12 dudes for 3 years. Yeah, you had thousands of people. He spoke to thousands of people, but in each of those sermons, what happens afterwards? They're super happy to get more food. They're super happy to get more healing, but the only people who are going to stick with him all the way through the end are these 12 dudes who he is investing in. And so when we look at who we're going to follow, which process do we want to follow? Do we want to follow the process of the televangelist? Is that fruit? We have to look. Do we want to follow the process of somebody who says great things are happening, but when you really look down the road, it all fizzles? Instead, look at Jesus, look what he did, and then look at the fruit around us. I think that when we're fully trained disciples, we're going to all of a sudden be working towards the fruit in others. We're just going to find that that's our heart, that's our desire. We're aligned with Jesus. And then working with fruit in others produces fruit in our heart. I've noticed this, where the more time I spend with other people trying to help them to produce fruit, all of a sudden I'm figuring things out, right? When you sit down with somebody in your conversation, and they're just pouring their heart out. They're saying, this is a really big problem. This thing I have is just killing me. It's terrible. And you're sitting there going, yeah, I got that too. I got that, but I'm not sharing it. And then you process. You figure it out. Or later on, it comes down the road. What Jesus is describing is this cycle. Fruit in your heart helps you to bring fruit in the hearts of other disciples. We're working with our Lord and Master. The Holy Spirit is in us for a reason. Holy Spirit isn't just an alien invader who pops in and makes us do things we don't want to do. The process is changing us so that we can be around people and help them to change. I call it arboring because I like to make up words. And I didn't have a really, the thesaurus, it was terrible. There's no really good word for someone who takes, it's not an orchardist. right? I guess you could be a botanist or a gardener, but what is the word for somebody who takes care of trees? It's an arborist, but there's no verb for it, so I'm going to call it arboring, and we're going to do that. So taking all of these insights from the earlier parts of the passage and then giving you a future. He gives them a future. This is what Jesus does. If you look in, where is it? Right before this, he's talking about, oh, you should love those who love you. What benefit is if you just love the people you love? Yep, 32. And then he gets to, here you go, 35. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. Here's the payoff. And this portion is going to elaborate on the payoff. What is the payoff of living like Jesus? The payoff of loving like Jesus and pouring into others and trying to produce fruit. The payoff is more fruit all around us. This is his description of what this reward is. Your reward is not just going to be more money. It's not going to be more stuff. Your reward is probably not going to be more quality time with the kids. Your reward is going to be seeing spiritual fruit because you're planting spiritual fruit. I think this for us is the big question. Is that what I want? Is that what I truly want? Really? Do the things that I do in my life, do they express my sincere desire and hunger for fruit in others? That's a challenge. That's a really challenging thought. Look at my life. Look at my last 2 months. Does that scream out, here is somebody who is laser focused on fruit in others? That's how Jesus was. If we're going to be producing, all of a sudden we're going to be tasting. We're going to be interested. We're going to be trying to develop new fruit by seeing what's working, what's not working. Where is the fruit? What's God doing in your life? It's kind of like, this is why I like the concept of the arborist. When you're an arborist, when you're a tree keeper, when you're somebody who walks through the orchard, and your whole life, your livelihood, everything you are is embedded in this apple farm, we'll say, right? You're going to walk all of those rows. You're probably going to name your trees. You're going to try to find the right beekeeper at the right time. You're going to figure out which fertilizer is best. You're going to pay very close attention to everything you did and what it produced. You're going to say, is this tree producing good fruit? Is what I'm doing working? How many of you in your job would still have a job if you didn't ask that question? Is what I'm doing working? Well, they gave me a task to do, and so I did it. If you're a Walmart greeter, maybe. That's some of those jobs where you just stand there and greet people, and you don't really have to worry about later they're happy. There are some very few number of jobs that maybe you can get away with it. But most of us, we have to ask this question. And then how can I produce more and better and longer? That's what we all ask in our lives. Why do I do this from Monday to Friday, and then all of the rest, the spiritual side of life, all of the rest of the weekend, well, that's just for doing those things that I know are good things. If you're paying very close attention to the fruit, if you're an arborist, you're going to be trying to do better. And then ultimately, you want to ask, if this is a really great tree, how many of you have been to some of the apple farms where they have experimental apples? We were upstate, and they have these weird strains, and not all of them work. Some of them are nasty. But, I'm not a big fan of the Macintosh apple. It tastes like applesauce that's cold and still in the shell. It's kind of mealy and mushy. But when you're trying to produce new, fresh, interesting apples, you're going to be wondering, should I try to reproduce this tree? Should I try to graft this on? Is this a good branch, a bad branch? You're paying very close attention. Why don't we do that spiritually? I don't know if that's something that's a hunger. I think the reason is because we wouldn't technically know where to begin. Check this out. This is an apple blossom. So I think we'd all agree that this apple is not ready yet, right? Make sense? Hey, kids, what about this next one? Is this apple ready to eat? No? Okay. All right, let's try the next one. Is this apple ready to eat? You think so? What do you guys think? Would you eat this apple? No? Is it a great, what kind of apple? What am I trying for? Is this a mini apple? Is this supposed to be one of the, like?
It's a red apple, so I'm going to say no, they're not ready.
It's starting to turn red. Good eye. See, you're thinking like an arborist. The answer is no. What about this one? Yes. These ready? Yeah. Oh, but what if they're overripe? How do you know?
It's falling off the tree.
There's only one way. You got to taste it. You got to taste that apple. And then when you bite into that apple, you got to think, is this one ready? Is it ready? As it turns out, oh no, it's not ready. This is terrible. This is, oh, bad apple. This is. So once you're done with that apple, you might as well have some nice cold apple cider, right? You know that's going to be good. Nope, wasn't good. It was bad cider. It'd gone bad. So instead, you just go with what works, right? You know, I know what I like, I know what I get. This is the challenge. Which of these is the good fruit? What am I going to pursue? You got to taste it. And the fruit in other people's lives involves tasting. Getting up next to them and seeing, what is God doing? How many of us, I want to ask, oh, you can go back. I didn't make my joke because clearly coffee is the right answer. So that's the good fruit. All right, you can go past. How many of us spend a lot of time in our lives asking people, what is God doing? It's just, I know in parts of my life, it has not been common dinner time conversation to just frankly say, what's God doing? I know he's doing some awesome stuff. What is God working on in your life and the lives of people around you? What good things do you see popping up? Are you hungry for those good things? Instead, oh, well, we'll stay here. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Instead, check this out. I think this is an important part of the process. When you, you can go back. I think I'm just going to read it off the screen. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself don't see the big log that's in your own eye? You're a hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck that's in your brother's eye. I think this is in this passage for a reason. He's describing when you are in conversation with somebody and you're not focused on where's the good fruit, but instead you want to point out their bad fruit. You want to explain, well, you know, that's pretty sour. You want to point out the things that are wrong. You're always going about it the wrong way. Jesus describes, listen, if you have compassion, you will be able to identify the fruit. Don't worry so much about, okay, well, I think you should do this or that. Figure out where this person is. Is Jesus working in a way that is positive? Asking these questions with compassion will help you to avoid the challenge, which is, hey, there's a big speck right there. I can see it in your eye. If you're so focused on other people and how they're doing wrong, if you're judging, if you're not loving, you are going to miss out on fruit. It's not just that it's wrong, it's that it's silly. You're missing out on all the potential fruit that you could have by just saying, hey, what's up? And a lot of times, you know what they're going to say? I got something in my eye. Right? It'll come out. You're not missing out on, you don't have to call every single little speck out. What I've discovered is that with compassion, oh, you can go back. You have to have compassion to identify the fruit, and you got to have that compassion in order to be compelled to work for the fruit, because it's not easy. It's not just something that falls into. How many of us accidentally have coffee with a friend? You accidentally have lunch? Do you accidentally go to the movie with a friend? How many of us just accidentally show up for shopping at the mall with a friend? If you're trusting to accidentally run into people, it might be a while, and that's not really a compassionate act. And then if you're compassionate, if you really are, you're not looking for specks and just simply enjoying what God is doing, you actually get to enjoy the fruit. You get to enjoy the fruit in their lives. And I found, this is one thing I've found here especially. I think that it's been tremendous here at Stephanie. I found that, I think a lot of this is, I'm sad that Pastor Kevin's not here, but I think a lot of this is due to Pastor Kevin's wonderful compassion. You spend 10 years, you value compassion, you are a compassionate individual, and you're going to surround yourself with compassionate people. That's how it works, right? You are going to produce those things that you value. And what I've noticed is that when I sit with Pastor Kevin, there is a care for me, a love for people that I feel cared for. And then I want to go out and care for somebody else. This is the process of developing fruit. It's amazing. And I can just sit with any one of you guys and just say, hey, what's going on? What's God doing? And I'm not so worried about, are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? Is it how I would do it? I'm just worried about seeing what God is doing in your time, in his time, at your pace, who you are. It frees you up from having to be the judge, because being a judge is pretty pretty difficult. Here's some tips, all right? This is the practical section. Step one, choosing to be around people. And I'm going to take each of these tips, and I'm going to relate it to our first month, I'll say, at Stepney, right? Choosing to be around people. When we came, this beautiful place was down to the studs, yeah? They were all looking at the hand-hewed timbers, and everybody was over here wondering, how on earth is this place still standing? It's creaking like crazy. How do we stop it? And you know, what do we need to do? How are we going to make it beautiful? But in the meantime, where we did church was in the cinder block room next door. It's not literally cinder blocks. It's beautiful because it's a preschool. But we did church in this weird, square, wide room, and there were chairs set up. They were padded. They're nice. But we sang from songbooks that, I don't know who was responsible for doing that, but I have great compassion for whoever assembled those songbooks every week, because that's quite difficult to sing from those. And it was just very impromptu. And to be honest, we kind of thought you were a church plant. We really did. It did not feel like, oh, wow, this is a place that's been here since 1841. And it was wonderful. We came from a church plant in Wisconsin that we loved. We enjoyed it. But you were there, and you had no choice. You had to choose to be around people. Here, there's like two levels, and then there's that room, and there's a nursery, or you can be next door. It's a little harder nowadays to track people down. When you want to say, hey, where did so-and-so go? How's their week going? You got to chase them down. You had no choice. You chose to be around people because everybody was in that room. Second tip, feed people. It is one of the most fundamental human needs and something that's relatively easy to do. Most people will still admit that they actually don't mind McDonald's, right? You can always find a McDonald's. There's always a chance to go somewhere and have a meal together. Super easy. Feeding. And let me tell you, one of our favorite parts about Stepney has been that you feed people. And, oh, man, I hate that it's icy because I don't get to thank the back row. You know, I love that we're all, it's intimate today, and it's just a few of us, but man, that back row, I haven't had a ham salad sandwich in an age and a half, right? An egg salad is not something that my wife makes a ton of, and so my favorite thing to do is get a ham salad and egg salad and stack them on top of you, have a ham and egg stacker, but it wouldn't be, it's only for the back row folks, and their passion, their heart is for feeding people. You know what? I don't need you to go and do these steps. I'm not worried about you walking through the procession of our church. How about I just feed you and we see what happens? And it was tremendous. I love the fact that in that old weird cinder block room, we would have communion, which is the intimate, quiet meal of, you know, with the juice and the cracker. You just can't do that. And you'd have the celebratory meal. And then you'd turn around and have the real meal, because there it was, right? You'd turn right around, you'd be communing after communion. I loved that idea. And it happens down in the Williams room. I'll rebrand it for you. The Williams room all the time, right? Every single week, down in that Williams room, there are people milling around. It's just food. I have so many conversations. And I love the fact that it's jammed in. Yeah, I know, sure, you could build a big, huge one and fit everybody. But it'd be hard to replicate that pressure cooker of relationships. All right? I think that's great. I have greatly appreciated being downstairs and being in the middle of a lot of swirling conversations. And then once you've chosen to be out there, like you all chose to come to church this morning, you've chosen to feed or have food with people, then why not ask the question? Because how many times have you had a meal next to somebody where that was it? Oh, how's your food? My food's good. How's your week? My week's good. And you don't really get to the fruit, right? You're eating the burger, but you're missing out on the fruit sometimes. This is the hardest part. Asking those questions, but the real tips are not, hey, go ask questions, but I promise you, if you do it with attention, you're paying attention to what they're saying. You're not asking them just so that you feel better about what are they saying. You're listening very closely. You're open. They're going to say something that you're not ready to hear, right? There's some crazy stuff that you're going to hear that you're going to have to, it's going to hit you in the jaw, and you're going to have to roll with the punches and just accept and be open. Okay, that's where you're at. That's okay. That's where you're at now. God's working. And faithfulness. Confidentiality. Keep a secret, folks. It used to be one of my hardest things until I was literally trained that, hey, guess what? If you don't keep a secret, you're not going to have a job. And so when we went through the counseling program, that was pretty much a wake-up call. But keeping secrets and maintaining faithfulness means if you say, hey, next week I really want to do something, do it, follow up. Those sorts of things, if you do that, I absolutely promise you that there will be no more awkward conversations. There isn't, because it's going to produce this fruit and this hunger that you're willing to go through the, oh, that was a little strange, but I loved it. That was not what I'm used to, but I'm passionate about it. All I can say is thanks. It has been wonderful. You guys have been tremendous. Pastor Mark, can't thank you enough. I can't, not only did you insist on having church, but do you actually play the piano? Okay, I was loving what you were doing in the middle there, jamming on it. But just the willingness to be flexible and be here today, I think, is a testament to your focus on fruit, and I appreciate you, brother. But everyone, leaving has been one of the hardest. It's been one of the hardest 2 weeks because we've seen what God is doing here. We've seen the amazing things, the people who are coming right along, who are investing in others, who are loving each other. You're present. You're trying. We're not trying to be something else. It is what we are. I think Rob said it best. Did you say quirky, unique, beautiful? Isn't it wonderful that you can have a group of folks on an icy day, and if we all decided we wanted to go to Country Pizza, we'd fit. That there's a beauty to the flexibility where it doesn't have to be big, and the temptation of being big is better, but big also comes at a cost. You're not as agile. And you can have big and small, but staying agile and staying what you are today as you start to grow is going to be the massive challenge. And I would encourage you all, you're too wonderful to stop. It is too special a place to let it go into some other place. It's too precious. This fruit is too precious to throw it away and look for something over the next hill. So thank you for everything. We appreciate it. Susanna's still going to be here. It's just me who you only see once a month, but we absolutely love you guys. You pray with me? Oh, Father God, we love you. Here's something else, and it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be your child. It's a privilege to be among other children, working for something that you value. It's very hard to twist my mind to be like yours. I don't naturally look for the things that you look for, and I naturally look for things that you're not super fond of, but I see the folks around me, and we're stumbling in the same direction. We're all stumbling on that narrow, crooked, bumpy road towards you, and I just pray that would continue to be my heart as I'm not physically present, and I pray that it would continue to be the heart of everyone here, that we would be pursuing what you pursue and loving how you love, and if any help you can provide, we just pray that you'd grant it to us today. And keep us safe as we drive home. Keep us safe as we try to, some of us drive very long distances in the ice. And I pray that everything we do in this next week would be just be a little seed in the back of the mind that just asks us, what would Jesus want out of this conversation? We love you, Lord. Amen.